This is a new live son of a bitch.
Bull frickin' horse shit.
I hate to go all technical on you, but all hands on deck, swirly thing alert.
Attention.
Listen, you motherfuckers.
Buckle up, pedal heads.
You're experiencing the Lotus Effect with Phoenix and Phone Boy.
It's a podcast for losers.
You are my podcast, my only podcast. So if you fucking take my podcast away, I'm going to shove my foot so far up your ass.
It is out of sheer morbid curiosity I'm allowing this freak show to continue.
How do you fix that, though?
Take a big step back and literally
suck my dick.
Are you interested? I know you are, because it's fuck or walk.
You're shitting me.
Have you made your decision for Christ?
I'll tell you the truth. I don't give a shit.
Well, you know who else doesn't give a shit?
Phoenix and Phone Boy?
Ah, not them again!
Oh, they're horrible.
As you heard in our
Vegas
show.
We're the Carol and Mike Brady of Loser Podcast.
Yeah, we are.
Right.
That's right. We are the Carol and Mike Brady of Loser Podcast. We are the Lotus Effect. And this is episode 190, provisionally show titled Back Rubs and Blowjobs, because it was recently Mr. Phoneboy's birthday.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the ABCs of marriage, even though we're not married. Anniversary, birthday, and Christmas. That's when you're getting a little bit of woo after party action. So anyway, yeah, you can tell what this show's going to be all about, because the show doesn't matter. The content is truly made up, and I am the princess of profanity, none other than Phoenix.
Got a helmet, seatbelt, what could happen?
Go dance and strife.
Yeah, when I saw that opening clip, that was my immediate answer. I'm Phone Boy, of course.
Yes, and we are up to absolutely no good, and would also like to welcome our Apple Podcast and Spotify listeners. Surprise, motherfuckers, you are in for it. And what it is the Lotus Effect, and it often causes people to freak out.
What is this, a freak out?
This is kind of strange.
This is terrific.
I think I'm gonna be sick.
Not a speck of light is showing, so the danger must be growing. Are the fires of hell a-glowing? Is the grisly reaper mowing? Yes! The danger must be growing, for the rowers keep on rowing, and they're certainly not showing any signs that they are slowing!
We're there.
I just had an orgasm.
The guy is jizzing all over himself.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Yeah, but there's no need to freak out, because the Lotus affects everyone differently, and a lot of people freak out, but then again, a lot of people really enjoy it. And whichever category you fall into, however the Lotus is affecting you, we want to hear about it.
I got mail! Yay!
I got you a dollar.
Now, of course, you hear us yakking every week about how much time and whatnot we put into doing this show. And we do. We put a lot of our time, and we also put our life, if you will, into doing this show. And we run on the value for value model, which consists of the three T's, time, talent, and treasure. We discuss it all the time. Of course, treasure isn't as important to us as your time and your talent, and we'll discuss what that entails in a moment. But if you want to send us some of your wonderful treasure, you can go to lotuseffect.show and click the green We Like Money button, or you can go to Cash App using the hashtag $TheLotusEffect33. We also have a merchandise shop where you can go to lotuseffect.shop and buy the crap that is smeared with our brand feces. If you want to show the world that you are a pedalhead and that you support this shitty little podcast that we do, and we love doing
it. The one that ruined my last relationship.
Consequently, which, yes, that could not be more true. But You can also do a one-time or recurring donation through those means. Now, I don't think we have anyone that sent any gold pressed platinum.
No, I don't think so. I think,
but that's okay.
We still need to refinish the Rideshare Radio logo. That's so we can.
Yes, I need to get a cattle prod and. Bzz.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's one of those things. We've had a lot of things going. We'll talk about during that middle part of the show.
Now, like we said, we understand. You may not have the scratch to send us your cash. That is awesome. But to show us that the show actually has value for you, what we really love is let us know that you're listening. It only takes a moment or two. And you can do things like subscribe to the podcast on your favorite app. You can also follow, rate, and review it. There's also the fact that you can join us in the chat. We absolutely love when you join us in the chat sometime. During Rideshare Radio, Fridays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, or during Lotus Effect, which is now, and Studio 33 that follows right after. Now, we usually start the show at 5 p.m. Eastern unless we have a decision to do a 4:20 because we are in Central Time. We like doing 4:20 starts just because why not? It's our fucking show. Now, if you want details on how you can join us in the chat, go to lotuseffect.chat. And there's a wonderful link there's wonderful directions in there on how to do it. Now, you also can send us some feedback on this little platform that says... Mastodon!
And yeah, the Mastodon, so by the way, since you don't actually go on the Mastodon that often.
I actually occasionally do. I'm offended you insinuate I don't ever go on.
No, I just said you don't go on that often. Now, unfortunately, they updated the interface, right? Because we use a hosted Mastodon instance, masto.host. They do all right. I'm sure I probably could build it myself for cheaper if I wanted to, but I don't have to mess with it. And the guy seems okay, so I don't have an issue with it. But yeah, they just updated all the Mastodon to the new interface, and it's going to look a little different when you go on your phone next time. I will warn you now. But I actually think they did. I don't find it that terrible what they did. But some people have complained about it. I don't know. Anyway,
I go check Phoenix at lotuseffect.social or you go check Foamboy at lotuseffect.social because that is the way you can contact us on the massive dong. You also can send us an email. I don't give a fuck at lotuseffect.show. I know we keep fapping about the fact we're going to get a less offensive email.
You can also just do phoneboy at Lotus Effect. Yeah. Spelled properly, of course, because you choose to spell your name Phoenix.
Damn right I do.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not ashamed of it.
Yes, and we love it when you come and join us in the chat when we're doing it, which we already talked about all of that. But
another way that we love that you can show us that you're listening and send back the act, which we all talk about all the time, is you can call or text 253-237-3321.
One ringy dingy. Two ringy dingy.
Dell Computers, this is Chip.
I'm sorry, sir, but that line is boozy.
Yeah, and if the hosts aren't boozy, the line definitely is, because Google Voice is who's answering, and it will mangle your transcript, and you'll probably end up as a show title. Now, one of the reasons, other than to give us some feedback, or I guess you kind of could consider this feedback, because it discusses our weigh-in topic, which this week is, we want to know what you did for the 4th of July. Tell us your 4th of July stories at 253-237-3321. And, I think at this point, we've explained ourselves pretty dang well. We should probably take it from Mr. Johnny Fever.
I think so.
So just sit right down, relax, open your ears real wide, and say, give it to me straight, doctor, I can take it.
Yes, it is controlled falling, but don't give us this.
We don't want your shit.
Please don't send us your shit.
Although I have known some people who went for a run and did shit themselves. But the shit we're not going to take is any kind of racism, no anti-Semitism, definitely. We've had some fucking idiots on the massive dong running their dick suckers about shit they knew nothing about, whistling some dick flute bullshit. They know who they are. We're not going to name them on air because we're not going to give them the respect enough to even name them to shame them. But irrelevant to the fact, we have people counting on us, do we not, Mr. Phoneboy?
Yeah, well, I think people, there are people counting on us, but also I think it was counting that Dick Flute bullshit had to get written down. So,
fair.
Because I thought it was important because, you know.
I just want to tell you both good luck. We're all counting on you.
Yeah, that's part.
That's
yeah.
right. We all are being counted on to get it right and to never, never, never allow our segment, our health segment, to be.
Brought to you by Pfizer.
No, it will never, ever be brought to you by Pfizer. Now, oh, this is one of these articles that one of us picks to trigger the other. Seven surprising habits that can spike your blood sugar, according to a diabetes expert.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Ta-da!
Diabetes. Have a good day.
Some ups and downs in blood sugar are natural. What we want to avoid are large fluctuations in blood sugar, either too high or too low. Avoiding these fluctuations isn't always easy because glucose variability can occur for a variety of reasons, like taking too much or too little medication, dehydration, stress, illness, and overeating foods high in carbohydrates.
Eat it. Just eat it.
Yes. Now, of course, there are seven habits that the diabetes experts or diabetes experts recommend to help you keep your blood sugar from spiking. These are going to sound really dumb. And so basically you need to handle your fucking stress.
Goosefraba.
Now, stress is inevitable. You know, and stress is, as I remember from a joke book I read as a kid, it's the mind overriding the body's basic desire to choke the living shit out of someone who desperately deserves it. I think that's a good way to describe stress. It's inevitable, but chronic stress that is not addressed can hurt your health. And when we are stressed, the stress hormones, cortisol and adrenaline are released, which can raise blood sugar and disrupt normal insulin function. This fight or flight response keeps sugar in the blood longer than it would moving into other cells. Now, chronic stress can cause health issues over time. Now, apparently, high intensity exercise is a problem.
Let's get physical, physical. I wanna get physical.
When I was tracking my blood glucose a bit more closely than I do now, yeah, that is after I'd go for a 5 or 6 mile run. Yeah, my blood sugar might be a little higher. Yeah, it's a good thing, right? But for some people, it does cause an increase in blood sugar because that adrenaline that you experience when you're doing that causes the liver to release some glucose in response. Because of course you need that in order to keep moving, right? And now medications might also cause a problem.
Drugs? I'm not taking any drugs.
Yeah, well, I wonder if there's got to be a survey somewhere. How much paid pharma does the average America take? So how big of a pharma dumpster is America?
Well, I think that they don't want those numbers released because it would cause people to possibility of waking up and realizing that, yeah, you've allowed yourself to become a pharma dumpster because of all the shit food that they are shoveling into you under the guise of it being healthy.
Yes. Yeah, I take zero prescription pharma, folks, right? And I tend to keep it that way. Now, several classes of medications can cause blood sugar to rise. Now, medications like
glucocorticoids.
Yes, antipsychotics, heart medications, in other words, statins. Those things. Yeah, don't take those fucking things, right? Immunosuppressive drugs and hormone treatments are associated with changes in glucose metabolism and the incidence of high blood sugar or diabetes. Now, maybe something else that might be a problem, not drinking enough water.
Give me some water.
Yeah, I haven't heard that song in a long time. Anyway, there's no science behind the 8 glasses of water a day thing that people hear. You know, certainly being properly hydrated is just generally a good idea.
There is a lot of truth to the fact that you can have too much of a good thing, and that does include water. You truly can saturate your tissues to the point where you drowned. This is serious.
Yeah, so, but
I don't truly believe that 8 glasses of water a day, that equates to, what is that, a half a gallon, Phone Boy? 64 ounces?
Something along those lines, yeah.
If it's an 8-ounce glass, eight times a day, that's 64 ounces. That's a half a gallon.
Yeah. Now, I mean, here's the thing, though. You should probably drink until you've quenched the thirst. That's about as much as you should drink. No more or less than that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, but there is no. So it's bullshit, right? We know that. Okay. Also, apparently, eating large amounts of sugar-free foods can cause problems as well.
Here are the ingredients in Splenda. It contains dextrose. Dextrose is sugar. Maltodextrin, 2 sugars. And sucralose, 3 sugars. Sucralose is a zero-calorie, high-intensity sweetener that's 600 times sweeter than sugar. Your brain was never meant to use Splenda at all. Is made by replacing hydrogen and oxygen groups on sucrose table sugar molecules with chlorine atoms. Okay. Does that sound like anything you should be putting in your body anytime soon?
Fuck no.
Yes.
Anything.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd rather just have a little bit of sugar, honestly.
Yeah. Honestly, if you're going to have any sugar, have real sugar. You can get it from honey.
Yep.
You can get it from agave nectar. I'm not against those things, but definitely not Splenda, NutraSweet.
Yes, exactly. No.
Pink Death, whatever. Yeah, pink, exactly. Yellow, or blue. Yeah. Just say no, because it's going to kill you.
Yeah. Now, by sugar-free here, we're talking about the stuff that we just went on and on about here, right? Artificial sweeteners can also spike your insulin and cause all kinds of other issues like diarrhea and migraines, if you talk to me about it anyway. You know, also not getting enough sleep. As one side effect of actually cleaning up my diet and getting rid of all of that stuff is actually, my sleep's been, I may not be sleeping quite enough, but I think I'm getting better sleep, which is ultimately at the end of the day what I'm interested in, right? So, sleep and diabetes do have a bidirectional relationship. Not enough sleep can cause blood sugar to rise. High blood sugar often interrupts sleep, especially if you're making frequent bathroom trips in the middle of the night. Now, in a cohort study, researchers evaluated the risk of developing diabetes and sleep duration. They discovered that people who slept less than 6 hours per night had a greater risk of developing type 2 diabetes. Now,
that explains a lot about the trucking community, if I'm honest, because shit poor diet, no fucking sleep worth a damn. They're just asking to become pharma dumpsters. It's truly circular, and it's a very ugly circle.
Yeah, it's a very ugly circle. Now, they also say one of the things that can potentially create an issue is getting too much sun. I'm gonna soak up the sun. Yeah, so basically because you get a sunburn, right? Because it activates hormones that cause you to eat, your blood sugar goes up as a result. Now, God, I mean, I found that when my diet has been optimal, I don't get sunburns, even with extended exposures. So I don't.
And honestly, okay, so I can actually speak a little boots on the ground to this, because 2 years ago when we went to Israel, I got the mother of all sunburns. Amazed I didn't get sun poisoning off of this thing. It was so bad. I did not notice myself because my diet was relatively clean at the time. I didn't know. I mean, yeah, I got like, seriously, I looked like someone had put me directly under a salamander in a kitchen, but I wasn't like, oh my God, I want to eat everything in sight. I didn't notice any, if anything, my appetite went down because I was just in so much fucking pain that moving, which would, in eating would involve moving, basically was just not on the bingo card at the time. No. So I'm not really sure that I buy into that shit.
Yeah, same. Yeah, exactly. Well, anyway, I don't know. Are we going to buy into this next thing? This next
story? Absolutely not. Anything that has to do with Ozempic, whether it's Ozempic or an Ozempic-like drug. Yeah, we're not impressed, because there is apparently an Ozempic-like drug that significantly reduces frequent or chronic migraines, according to a pilot study.
Oh!
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 Ozempic
will still kill you, and it's not worth it. But chronic migraine sufferers who have not been able to find relief with available migraine drugs might now have new hope in a new option. A new pilot study from Italian researchers Simone Bracca and his colleagues found that the class of drugs called glucagon-like peptide 1, GLP-1, receptor agonists reduced the number of days with migraines by half. These are the same type of drugs as those used for weight loss and diabetes, like Ozempic, which works by managing blood sugar levels in the body.
Coincidence? I think not!
Published in Headache, the Journal of Head and Face Pain, the study included 31 participants, 26 female and 5 male, with chronic migraine and obesity. Now, I found it interesting, Phone Boy, that they included the fact that they had obesity in that sentence. It obviously is important, even though they're claiming that this has nothing to do with it, as you'll hear.
Right. Exactly. I mean, my own experiences, those things are pretty fucking related, but go on.
Exactly. So, like I said, there were 26 females and 5 males, and they were given the GLP-1 receptor agonist, liraglutide, over a period of 12 weeks and asked to keep a headache diary. At the end of the 12-week period, participants had reported a change in the mean number of migraine days per month from around 20 days to 11 days with migraines each month.
Wow!
Out of the 31 patients, 15 had around 50% reduction in monthly headache frequency. 7 patients experienced a reduction of around 75% of days with migraines, and 1 reported no migraines at all. Now, some participants reported mild gastrointestinal side effects like constipation and nausea, but these cleared up later and didn't affect the study.
Blech.
Obesity is generally associated with an increased risk of migraine and is known, and it's known that weight loss can help reduce the frequency of symptoms. However, weight loss doesn't appear to be the mechanism for the reduction of migraines in this study. BMI was also recorded over the course of the study, and participants only experienced a very slight change from 34.0 to 33.9, which wasn't considered significant because it's not significant. It's literally less than 2 pounds. We did the math on this.
Now, it depends on your height, but yeah, you were talking about it's within the margin of error, as they say.
Exactly. And, the researchers also found that the differences in age, sex, and additional medications made no significant difference in the reduction of the migraine days.
Right.
Has anyone considered what the fuck these people are eating? GLP-1s make you eat less. And whatever they're eating, if they're eating a lot less of it on this GLP-1, it might account for the migraine relief and not that this is some miracle drug for migraine relief.
Exactly. It's just dealing with the fact that, yeah, you're eating something that you're not supposed to eat, and your body's, your body's trying to tell you, don't eat that shit, and you're still fucking eating it. What the hell are you doing? Remember, I think with the peaches, right? I think this is good of the peaches anecdote, because, one of the things I've discovered is that, the amount of sugar I have in my system will sort of determine how well I sort of deal with living in the South and having allergies to just about everything, right? So,
yes, you overdid it because I bought some local, because they're from South Carolina, they're still considered local.
Yes.
Freestone peaches, they're the first of the season that I got the first week of this month, and they're unbelievably yummy. But yeah, you don't need that much sugar in your body, and you ate probably half that bag, not going to joke.
No.
So I only had maybe 3 or 4 out of it.
I've had a few of them, but what I've noticed, and it's because the other day, this contributed to my birthday, I think, actually, because
yes.
Or one of the, because yeah, unfortunately, I woke up. No, actually, it contributed to Friday. So anyway, we'll talk about that. But unfortunately, I had woke up, and this was kind of after I had realized that maybe Yeah, eating, this is kind of where I realized that maybe this, it doesn't matter. You know, this is where we say that the liver's not, the liver, your liver's a meritocracy. It doesn't care where the sugar come from. Neither does the inflammation in your body.
That's right.
Because what happened was I woke up at 4 a.m. with my sinuses basically fucking locked up. And they basically gave me a migraine.
Yeah, he was miserable.
Yes. So we'll talk about all of that when we get to the toast and jam.
Yeah, but I think right now we want to talk about our ancestors, don't we?
Yeah, and what the, you know, now this is, understand that this is an M5M article from the BBC, so you know it. So you know it's got they're bought in on the propaganda. What our ancestors really ate.
Oh my God! Who the hell cares?
And yes, they used the carnivore cult. And yes, the article actually used the word, right, is growing. Now, data from Google Trends shows that searches for the term carnivore diet that weren't answered by AI roughly tripled in the U.S. and the U.K. from 2022 to 2025 and there's now more than 160 carnivore cookbooks listed for sale on Amazon. Now, there's no real science proving the diet is beneficial.
Wrong, sir. Wrong.
All you have to do is log on to Vinny Tortorich's group on Facebook and see the hundreds of thousands of people.
I can't believe an anti-social media person just told somebody to go on somebody else's social media platform. Anyway. I'm giving you a bad time.
Fuck you!
I believe in what Vinny is doing. I will sacrifice my stance for 0.3 seconds.
Breaking the balls.
I'm aware of that, but no. I will sacrifice my stance for about 0.3 seconds, which is also that arbitrary number.
Yes, another arbitrary number.
That's right, another arbitrary number. But I will sacrifice my stance to say that, yes, if people find Vinny's podcast, and I even recommend it to people who say that, oh, I know so-and-so who's really struggling to try to lose weight, I will point them toward Vinny. Like, do not succumb to these GLP-1 drugs. Do not believe your doctor. And do not ever say, I've tried everything. If you've never tried actually finding the self-control and the willpower to just eat shit that isn't going to kill you. Put it in your brain that if I put this in my mouth, it's like poison. It's toxic. Get your brain trained that the things you need to eat are the healthy fats and the protein. Red meat, dear God, eat a motherfucking steak. I'm just saying.
Okay, well, the meat munchers, but many meat munchers feel confident in their choice because they think our hunter-gatherer ancestors ate mainly or only animals. Now, the carnivore diet, they say, is a better fit for our biology than the modern diet of carbohydrates, processed foods, and farmed plants. It's what we're evolved to eat.
Well spoken, sir.
Yeah, eat a steak, eat a big old steer, right? I think we may even use that. We'll use that clip in the next one, sorry. But the first thing to note is that our ancestors weren't actually carnivores. Well, that's a misplaced narrative based on outdated archaeology. Now, what I learned in school was that humans were omnivores, meaning they can eat both plants and animals. But anyway.
Shut up already. It's science.
Now, the experts quoted in this article say that the archaeological record has traditionally been, well, biased toward the hunting record because of all of the tools needed to hunt and process meat. Oh, no, it can't be because humans actually preferred to eat meat.
Oh, no, no, no.
Yes.
Now, we know better now. Archaeologists have amassed a wealth of evidence that our ancestors ate plants. Some of the strongest comes from the isotope analysis. Isotopes and distinct versions of chemicals that can give us clues about what humans ingested during their lives. Now, just because they ingested it doesn't mean the humans involved actually preferred plants to animals or would do better on it.
And I'll be honest, I love me a steak with some salad. Matter of fact, if you put the steak on the salad, talk dirty. It's so good. So, yeah. There's nothing wrong with mixing a little bit of meat with your veggies.
Here's the thing, right? The reason why, the sort of the modern carnivore diet, you're absolutely correct, right? That was not what our ancestors ate. What they did do was they ate primarily meat, and when they couldn't get meat because, hunting is hard and not everybody's good at it, and sometimes you got to work with people and it takes a long time and you got to,
not to mention the weather, hello.
Yeah, there's all kinds of things you got to worry about, and so, it might take a little bit before you get something that you could have as a steer, right? And then of course there's all the, you know, there's the all of the, you know, I don't know, the refrigeration issues and shit like that. I mean, so it's kind of a, you know, the fact is there's going to be times where you're not going to be able to eat meat, and so during those times, okay, you're going to eat some plants, and that's okay, right? But you're going to be eating both of those things. You're not going to be eating necessarily one or the other. Now if you're trying to sort of clean your body up from all of the sort of the modern shit. Yeah, I think something like a carnivore diet or a very carnivore-ish diet seems reasonable to me, right? Because, our bodies are made of the same stuff, and it's easy for us to digest that stuff, whereas we're not made of the same stuff as plants. You know, there's some stuff in plants that not really compatible with human physiology, right? If you think, you know, I'd much rather, what would you rather eat? All the grass that the cow eats or what comes out of the cow? Because I can guarantee you, you try to digest that grass from that cow eats. Yeah, you're not going to be able to do it. Good luck with that.
No, exactly.
Yeah. So.
Wow. That was one of the better beef rants you've had.
Yeah, well, did I record it? Yeah, I did. Okay, I see the recording up there. Okay, so,
you're such a goober. Yes, we call it the Lotus Effect, and it's what we're doing. Did you forget?
I don't know. Whoever wrote this next article.
I think that's what it is. I think this next article broke your brain, and you need a reset. Where's your button? I'm going to have to go find it. Oh, that's right. That's the after party. So, you know, what most people don't know about grilling meats and the fact that it raises the cancer risk, it's scaring people. Ooh, here's 6 ways to grill a little safer. Eat steak, eat a big old steer. That's right. We like when we grill a big old steak. Now, aren't these the same assholes that were telling you that eating red meat caused cancer? Oh, then why are we surprised that grilling meat now can cause cancer, according to these very same experts. Now, they're freaking out the Americans because apparently they didn't know this.
Dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
Grilling meat can produce 2 types of carcinogens in particular. Heterocyclic. We're calling them HCAs. Forget about it. It's over. The jokes are writing themselves, and I'm not going to narrate them. But it can cause HCAs and polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, PAHs. Although there's no direct evidence linking grilled meat to cancer in humans, studies show that HCAs and PAHs can damage DNA in ways that may lead to cancer. That's why the experts are urging caution when it comes to frequent grilling, because long-term exposure is a thing.
Maybe I'm an idiot.
For those who aren't buying the vegan propaganda to not eat meat at all, you don't need to ditch the grill entirely. Tweak your technique. Here's what Dasgupta recommended to reduce your exposure to HCAs and PAHs when grilling. 1, marinate the meat. Marinating your meat for just 30 minutes can help lower HCA formation. Now, I can't disagree with that. Marinated meat is quite yummy on the grill. Flip it often. Turning meat more frequently helps it cook evenly while also limiting the charring. Avoid direct flame. Try indirect grilling or pre-cook your meat in the oven before finishing it on the grill. Because it's going to get those nice grill marks and that smoky flavor from being pre-cooked in the oven. Now, cut back on the char. Trimming charred meat sections and avoiding gravy made from meat drippings can help reduce carcinogen exposure. I would just like to point out, I do all that, just so the finished product isn't burnt like a motherfucker. So they also recommend choosing leaner meats. Leaner meats, such as chicken, cooked at lower or sustained temperatures, are theoretically healthier than red meats cooked at higher temperatures. Leaner cuts also reduce fat drips and flame flare-ups, which can contribute to carcinogen formation.
Okay, so I'm thinking to myself, I'm going, okay, that sounds like smoked meat's better. And yeah, oh my God, like smoked meat. Anyway.
Focus, foam boy. Now, here's the thing. You know what else this leaner meat contributes to? Some tough, shitty-tasting meat. Sometimes, yes, you have to consider this fact. Because who the fuck wants tough-ass, burnt-tasting chicken? Oh, that's right. The same people who are putting the damn sauces all over these meats, full of what? Sugar. Oh, another way to form a carcinogen. And also, sugar lights up cancer. How many times do we have to say it? Now, they also recommend grilling other foods. PAHs and PCAs only form in muscle meats. They don't form on vegetables or proteins like tofu and cheese.
What the fuck?
Who the fuck is grilling cheese? And why the fuck would anyone ever eat tofu? Are you shitting me? What? Oh, yeah. Show me a motherfucker who puts tofu on a grill. I'll show you a soy boy. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm with Sir Bemrus. Tofu is not food.
No, it is not.
No. And I'm very happy that there's meat somewhere downstairs. I'm happy about that. Let's get happy.
I'm happy, too.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
Fuck you. All right, this was a great story. Fine. A musician infuses dad's ashes into his guitar fretboard to be with him at future gigs. Yeah, the English media have reported on a man who has inlaid his father's ashes into the fretboard of his guitar, saying he will still be with me at all the shows. 37-year-old heavy metal guitarist Mark Wood learned to play the axe from his father, Keith, who passed away at the age of 68 from a heart attack on Christmas Day in 2022. Yeah. Now, Keith was a retired school teacher and often used to travel hundreds of miles to attend his son's gigs, where they would often have a beer and catch up. Now, Mark said his passing left a hole in the family of four. Now, Mark's sister used some of her dad's ashes to make jewelry, which gave him the idea of doing the same for the dotted inlays along the neck of his Fender Telecaster guitar. Yeah, well, now typically made with a mother of pearl or cheaper imitations for entry-level guitars, the inlays are both decorative and functional, serving mostly to mark out the spaces of a whole step, i.e. the space between two notes on the fretboard. Mark had never heard of anything like that being done before, but he knew exactly who to call. His friend Sam Orr runs Sam's Guitars in Cheshire, who mixed the ashes with a special glue to form the inlays. At first, I was just wondering how it would work, and then the more I thought about it and did a few test runs on a spare guitar neck I had, I realized it wouldn't be too difficult to complete it, Mr. Orr said, according to the BBC. We put some music on in the background and had a couple of beers and made a thing of it, Mark said. Sam did the work while the shop was shut and so caring and careful and was really respectful.
Now, I understand everyone's shit's emotional right now.
Yeah. It took Mark a little while before he felt emotionally ready to play the guitar, but when he did, he admitted it felt amazing. He strummed out Stranglehold by Ted Nugent, a song his father loved and taught him to play when he was younger. Here I come again now. Yeah, that We'll listen to that in Studio 33. I wish Dad was still here, but doing this makes me feel like he's always going to be here with me and you always got your memories, Mark said. The way... Well, he will be here with me at all the shows, and this guitar has given me a sense of closure. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Music, you know, realizing just how important music has been in my life, and it continues to play in my life. It is a, you know, there's a reason we're, you know, we're doing things like buying original vinyl, right, of certain albums and certain things. There's a reason we're, you know, that we're big on music because there's
a reason we do Rideshare Radio in Studio 33.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, with that, I think we'll go into the next story.
That's right, because there's this amazing story also across the puddle about years after she saved a magpie, it returns the favor, saving her life after she fell from a window.
Thus quoth the raven, nevermore.
When Sadie Gillard fell from a two-story window, the impact knocked the senior citizen unconscious, a state that may have become permanent if not for the intervention of a very small, very unlikely hero.
I need a hero!
Lightly tapping on her head, a bird named Jelly Bean roused its former caregiver enough that she could call her husband, who arrived in time to telephone emergency services and save her life. The story makes it clear why the English culture honors magpies. The fall happened in 2020 in the town of Esperance, in Western Australia's remote southeastern corner, where Gillard, then 68 years old, had cared for sick, wounded, or abandoned animals all her life.
Mama! Mama! Mama, 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 mama!
Now, 3 years before her accident, a minuscule magpie was brought to her home by someone who found it on the ground, unable to fly after it had fallen out of a tree. Already possessing a rich experience in nursing birds back to health, Gillard took in the nestling and named her Jellybean. For months, she grew up alongside Gillard and her family, a single flock of nest mates.
Yeah, I was just kind of I'm trying to imagining myself when we saw Mama, because I yelled the Mama, Mama, Mama when I saw Mama.
You did.
Years ago. I was kind of reliving that in my head, so I'm sorry.
Alrighty then. That's why people listen, because they like the personal touch to our show, I think. So she played with my grandson, Gillard told ABC News Australia, explaining that the magpie remained in the neighborhood after learning to fly and find food for herself. She'd sit on the veranda or whatever and knock on the door until I'd come out and say hello. Gillard said she had no memory of the 2020 fall. Landing on a cement driveway, she cracked her skull and dislocated her right arm violently.
I've fallen, and I can't get up!
I woke up to this little sound of purring and something tapping me on the forehead, Gillard said. Having been saved from a fall by Sandy Gillard, it was time for Jellybean to return the favor. Paramedics arrived and brought her to a heliport where she was flown to the hospital and stabilized. The doctors later told her if she had lain in that state much longer, she wouldn't be here today.
Well, that's about enough life for me for one day.
Can you believe it? A bird.
Yeah.
That's so cool. This is an example of why we do not deserve animals.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And yeah, I kind of viscerally react to what had happened to that lady too.
Yeah, I know what that looks like. Yeah. And it isn't pretty. It's very scary.
No. Well, fortunately, we don't, this isn't scary, but we have a cavalcade of stupidity.
It is crazy though.
We should probably release the cavalcade of stupidity.
Heidi ho, pedalheads, and welcome to Sir Reverend Cybertrucker's Cavalcade of Stupidity.
Scott Gardner is an American comedy writer, director, and podcaster, known for having created the animated parody Tiny Fuppets, the Comedy Central animated series Moonbeam City, and Netflix's Saturday Morning All-Star Hits. He also co-created and has co-hosted the theme park podcast, Podcast The Ride, since 2017. Released in August of 2023, this is Scott Gardner, The Sex Offender Shuffle.
State of Florida has asked us to disclose our sexual crimes to you. We were bad, but now we're good. We're moving into your neighborhood. You know we're trying our best to be functioning members of society. We're not here to start no trouble. We're legally required to do the sex offender shuffle.
I'm Larry Arthauer, and I'll refrain from touching my neighbor's kids again. What I did was not too kind, but I'm a nice guy, you'll come to find. I've got a backyard and a real nice pool. Y'all should come over for a barbecue. We can make some cold drinks in my blender, but do keep in mind that I'm a sex offender.
Vernon Douglas is my name. My battery arrest is what brought me fame. But there's much more to know about me. I love to dance and I love to ski. I zip and zoom on through the snow. Just strap on my boots and watch me go. But I can't ski until December. Till then I'm just a sex offender.
I'm Charles Dolan, dropping rhymes. I've been arrested 7 times. I know that sounds like a lot. 3 of those times were for vandalism. Feel real bad, I got caught. Might do it again, probably not. I'm not here to make pretenses. I'm here because of my sex offenses.
I'm Sam Pound, I'm number 1. Apologizing for what I've done. In case you are wondering what that was, I snuck into a bathroom and I...
Oh, wow. Yeah, they're just sort of...
My youngest...
No troubles, I'm just here to do the sex offenders.
Okay, I think... Anyway, we get the basic idea.
Oh my God, yeah, my youngest son first... introduced me to that song. I was so mortified, and then I was laughing way too hard to breathe because I'm like, that's just so wrong. We're definitely, do we have the full version of that song?
Of course we do, yes. So we'll play in Studio 33.
Yes, we will.
All right, so now it's time to go to the Tales from Rideshare segment.
Yes, only one person took that ride, and actually they took it 3 times within about 2 hours. It was quite amusing. Now, granted, I was trying to get a certain number of rides for the day, so it definitely helped with the count. But it became a joke where we actually were communicating in the, it's not a chat, but it's like if you have to message your rider. And because my picture pops up with the car description and his name pops up, we had quite a good little banter going because he had to take 3 separate trips. And I at one point was laughing and said, you know, as much as I'm loving hanging out and bringing you everywhere you have to go, this must be costing you a fortune. And he did confirm it was not cheap, but we had a great time, great conversations and some laughs, and hopefully I will end up having him as a customer again because it was quite nice. But that's all I've got this week, so we're gonna do that.
Well, I'm a bum in the sun, and I'm having fun, and I know you know I got no special plans.
Special plans!
That's right, and your special plans should include calling 253-237-3321 and telling us how your 4th was. Tell us all about it. We would love to know, because of course we're going to tell you about it. But first, we're going to talk about what I'm actually cooking tonight.
I'm making, like, actual food that's cooked.
We're going to Denny's?
You know, I've actually had this meal at Denny's on the unlimited menu when I was a fat truck driver. And it was pretty freaking decent back then, because it'll make a turd. But what I'm making tonight is a lot better for me and probably a lot more tasty because we are having sketti and meatballs. We've got, we were in the freezer earlier this week and realized we have an epic shit ton of meatballs from Costco. And I decided we needed to start using them. So tonight we're going to pair some Hearts of Palm sketti with some meatballs and sauce from Primal Kitchen because their sauce is clean, much like the Rouse. I think the Rouse might have a little bit of sugar in it. I'm not 100% sure.
No,
Rouse is clean? Okay, so Rouse and Primal Kitchen, 2 clean sauces. Also, you have to love it, but you'll definitely pay for it. It is the sauces that Anna Vecchino has in her Eat Happy Kitchen lineup. So we have not yet checked those out. When finances are better and space is not as limited, we are probably going to order some of that because I have heard it is on fire.
It's one of those. It's kind of like a Villa Capelli order. I mean, that's about the amount of money it ends up being, right? To do a space thing. Yeah, it's also a space thing. Yeah,
because
just for
the
free shipping.
Like what, 5 or 6 jars?
No, 12. You have 12.
That's even worse. Right now, I do not have the space for 12 jars of anything. But I can tell you, the sketty meatballs I'm making tonight.
It's like an orgy in my mouth, and everybody's coming.
Oh, it's an orgy. Got it.
Yeah, it's gonna be. Yeah, so. Well, okay. I think actually what we're going to do here, this is where I think because chronologically, in order to get to talking about, well, sort of what happened, I think we need to talk because we didn't do a show last week, and it is actually relevant to the, since we're all asking everybody to weigh in on this actual topic, I think maybe we should probably sort of weigh in, right? We should weigh in on the ourselves.
I think that's a good idea.
And so let's weigh in on the 4th of July, and then maybe we can work our way into that, I guess. And so I don't know. Do we want to wait? Does the world need a wake up call still? I think
you know, it might.
The world needs a wake up call. We're gonna phone it in.
All right. Anyway, we see weigh in at 253-237-3321. But here we go. Right. We talked about. Yeah, so basically, like last week, how would you describe last week? I'm talking when we got to the 4th of July. How would you describe what led up to Friday?
I have no fucking idea. I worked all week. It was fucking pandemonium.
Yes, it was, but basically, like we needed it. It was very clear. When we got to that weekend, and we also realized, okay, Friday was the 4th of July. And everybody was probably going to be doing stuff anyway. We kind of took a moment and said,
yeah, the fact that we completely fucking noped out for the entire weekend because we literally couldn't even.
Yeah, both of us. I mean, I kind of looked at you and I'm going, yeah, you're not there. I'm not there. I kind of pulled the plug on the weekend and said, we're disconnecting. And actually, we actually got some stuff done, though. Like, I mean, seriously, when you were talking about the brisket, I was still sort of remembering the 8 pounds of brisket that we.
It was more like closer to 16 pounds, if we're honest, because each were like 4 pounds.
Oh, okay, that's right. That's right.
And we did four of them.
That's right. I said 7 or 8 kilos to my Israeli colleagues when I was describing how much brisket you were cooking. Yes. So we have a lot of brisket. We have a lot of brisket that's done in vacuum sealed packs in our thing.
And it took an epic shit ton of time to do. Oh my gosh. You definitely, one thing I learned was you definitely have to have enough airflow for the heat. Because what should have taken maybe 5 to 6 hours literally took closer to 10 to 12.
Yeah. And, you know, not only that, but I mean, I also like cleaned up downstairs like massively. Right?
Oh, yeah. The whole downstairs is completely sanitized.
Pretty much. I finally got to a point where I needed to mop downstairs. Right. And also, there's some things that needed to be vacuumed underneath, behind dust, et cetera. There was also a lot of things that just needed to be reorganized and consolidated and much better organized. And now, it's a lot cleaner downstairs. And it took a couple of days, and I still need to mop up front. But basically, we just disconnected. We did things that brought us joy and made us happy. Because, I mean, we didn't do it on any sort of a schedule. We just kind of did whatever the heck we were going to do, right? So we took a reset, and we found things that, like, yeah, you cooked, right? I mean, because you were at a point where you were just kind of there, and your happy place is in the kitchen, and you cooked some great stuff.
Yeah, but between smoking the brisket, I also marinated and froze the next round of carne asada that has not yet met the grill.
No, okay.
Because we're gonna do fajitas with it.
Oh, by the way, Mama, we have a serving of brisket for you that we'll bring.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we definitely saved one out.
Yeah, we got one out for that. Mm-hmm. So, but
we also reorganized the freezer, which is how the meatball thing became a thing.
Yeah, that's why we realized we had all these meatballs, and we're like, well, we should probably use them.
Well, we've also been in contact with our beef people who she has semi-contracted me to do the food photography for her website. So any meat that I pull out of the freezer so that she didn't have to thaw all cuts, I will send to her. And then, of course, I send her the finished product of what's been prepared. And she is, she's offered a amount of compensation for it. And we're working it out. And we're also hoping to have her over for dinner and her other half one night.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're very great. They're very nice people. Yes. I mean, the whole farmers market thing this year was kind of weird. Anyway, that's a whole different
discussion. Yeah, we're not even going
to the farmers market.
Like, but pulling four briskets out of the freezer made a big amount of room.
Yes, exactly, and it
gave us an idea too of what to, you know, where we're at, because in October we're looking to get our next amount. You know, we've got some interesting positions, because our beef people are going to only be doing halves and wholes, and anything less than that will go through the USDA package pricing, and it's higher. And so it means we're going to have to kind of up our beef game in order to get a half when we get
by that point we might be living somewhere else. Who knows? I mean, there's a lot of things, and you know, there's a lot of things that are still in flux, right, in that regard.
So. Yeah, by the next time we need one, yes, we understand that. But the long and short is we definitely dove headlong into both the freezers, kind of took a stock of what we had, and decided what we needed to do, and it influenced the menu going forward for the next week or so.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's good to, you know, and that's part of what we've been sort of incorporating into our life, because we realize something. You enjoy cooking for me, right? And you enjoy cooking in general. And so,
and people are starting to ask for my recipes.
Yes.
And I actually found a binder my ex had bought me. It's a 3-ring hardcover, but it has wonderful, like, it's got a pad in it, it's got folders with tabs for like appetizers and main dishes. It's just a really wonderful thing, and it's one of those, like, if I have to, you know, list something good that came out of that, very few things, except for I like that binder.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and actually now literally across the street from where we live, they do a pretty decent fireworks show.
Oh yeah, they do.
Yeah, so literally we have to walk to the sidewalk and you know, so and you can sit there and watch the thing. And it was funny because we'd actually recorded it, and I think we talked
about putting it out as an episode.
Yeah, but then I heard the audio and went, this is not going to be.
Yeah, the audio was kind of shitty, but we did find a way that we can fix that, because I actually have an audio recorder and we can dub the sound over.
Yeah, there's lots of kinds of things we can do. Anyway,
there's audio trickery
we just decided that because it's actually a decent show, so we don't have to go anywhere. And quite frankly, I like fireworks. I've always liked fireworks. I don't like the idea of taking my money and lighting it on fire, but I like other people. I enjoy watching other people do it. I mean, I've always liked it. And even though she tried to ruin the 4th of July for me, but by insisting that we get married on that date. No, I still like fireworks. Fuck you, bitch. You know, go away. I like my fireworks. You know.
And actually watching the fireworks, there was a drone that was filming and flying around, and it inspired me. And I now have a little pocket drone that I'm charging the batteries and such on, so I can it has a HD camera on it, and I'm going to play with it when I get a chance. So maybe next year the fireworks will actually have a different vantage point and we can produce it.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, that's awesome. We'll see. But
if I get good with working this thing, I might put a little bit of more wood behind that arrow as far as price and quality. This is just a shitty little chinesium thing that I can hold in the palm of my hand. I want something that I actually have a fucking, you know, long range antenna thing.
Exactly. So, but anyway, I think we discovered, and I really, you know, I actually dug into why, because you and I are both basically anti-bogative holidays, right? And honestly, okay, we're celebrating our independence. Well, it's kind of funny because I don't feel all that because with the current government, I don't feel much like celebrating that we liberated ourselves from the UK. Because are we any better than the UK at this point? Probably not, right?
I mean, each place has its own unique issues.
Exactly. So what do we celebrate? And I realized, okay, well, People are so
we're celebrating the same fucking thing we celebrate on every bogative holiday: consumerism.
Yeah, pretty much. But now, but I said, okay, so we're not. I'm not in this holiday for any of that. I like fireworks. Fireworks are generally fired as an expression of joy, right? Because it's an expression of joy that just, you know, because why do you fire a firework in general? Because you're expressing joy, you're celebrating something, right? And so it's an expression of that happens to be visual and it looks pretty. And that brings me joy. What's the problem with that? I don't see any issue with that. Whether it's because they're doing it on some bogative holiday or not, I can still enjoy the fucking fireworks.
And it was funny because we actually ended up having to go to the grocery store that day as well.
Oh,
and,
God.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Zero stars would not recommend.
Yeah, also going to Walmart prior to such a thing. But,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because I had to go to Walmart, on that Wednesday before. But, so our 4th of July was pretty, I think you were doing things in the kitchen. I was cleaning the house. We went and watched the fireworks, then we went and watched Jennifer Connelly roller skate through Target. That's what we did.
Yes, we did.
Yes, yeah, so I've never seen this movie. This is a John Hughes movie, right? And if you're of that age, you know what a John Hughes movie is. Now this is a John Hughes movie that came out in 1991. Now in 1991 I was living in Hawaii, so I really wasn't paying much attention to what was going on in the mainland and all. Anyway, this movie was not a big commercial success, so it never really got on my radar, but when I watched this movie, I can pretty much, if you've seen a couple of John Hughes movies, you pretty much know what the sort of the plot elements are and the fact that there's a bit of ridiculousness to it all. And you end up with these characters with having deep philosophical discussions in goofy situations that would never occur in real life. But it somehow works and it's entertaining and everybody has a good time with it. And Jennifer Connelly has a nice rack, especially, just roller skating through fucking Target.
In a wife beater.
That's right. Yes. So anyway, that so
you're welcome.
Yes. So,
that was definitely a way to spend it. That there was some fireworks on that 4th.
Yeah, I tell you that. So yes. Now I guess we should probably let our pedal heads weigh in on this because
we want to hear what they have to say. Now we did have a text come in from Tigger who said, "I worked, got to watch the fireworks across the bay from the comfy of my work home." That would be the cab of her rig, and she told me about it because we were chatting that night, and it was by happenstance, and she said, "I'm not leaving in that traffic. I'll just sit right here."
Yeah,
and she had already gotten unloaded from her stop when the fireworks began or let out or something. Either way, she was like, "Nope, I'm just gonna stay right here."
Yeah,
and she had a great time. She said so. That's what she did for her 4th.
Yeah, and Mama said, "My 4th, absolutely nothing special, just another day. I got to spend it in peace and quiet, and that's all that matters." I don't think I can argue with that. However, we do have some voicemails here. We did have one, and this is this goes back to the 4th of July here. You'll just have to listen to this one.
Let me tell you a story about a squirrel. Now, this isn't your regular squirrel. No, this is an adventurous squirrel. This squirrel likes to go around and fuck shit up. One day, this adventurous squirrel we'll call Asshole runs all the way up to the top of a telephone pole. And as he's sitting there, he's looking around, squeaking, "Yellow! Yellow!
Yellow!"
And then he stops and examines his world, and it is beautiful. He decides that he wants to go ahead and descend in the way of his ancestors. And he performs a beautiful, beautiful 3-point dive off of the top of the telephone pole, screaming, "Yellow!" as he promptly yeets himself down onto the top of the transformer. Boom. This poor little adventurous squirrel. He came to realize after his death, and he's floating on his way up the little squirrel heaven where he can eat all the nuts. He fucked around and he found out. So the moral of the story is, get yourself a t-shirt and on the front, YOLO, yeet, FAFO. And then put a picture of poor Asshole with his tail stuck in the air after he killed himself via accidental suicide. Yay!
You know, I get neither. Now, it could have been that, or it could have been one of my handlers that had something to do with it. I can neither confirm nor deny that, but
dressed as said asshole squirrel.
Yeah, exactly. So that was a great story, and I know why.
Always.
That's beautiful. I'm afraid there's another call from that number in there, and I think we might. But I think we need to play this one first.
Hey guys, you wanted to know what I did on the 4th. Cooked out some burgers, dogs, and barbecue chicken. Had some potato salad, macaroni salad, coleslaw. No, not macaroni salad. Potato salad, coleslaw. Did corn on the cob. We had Reuben over. Got the fire pit going, and we blew off some fireworks. Had a few drinks, and that was about it. So it was an uneventful night. Love you guys. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye, Woogie. All right, that sounds like a fun evening. We just decided to go back and, yeah, like I said, we just decided to go watch Jennifer Connelly roller skate through Target. I thought that was great. Okay, so let's actually play this. Let's play this, see what this next caller has to say.
Hi. Guess what? It's 1:53 in the afternoon. Do you know where your sanity is? Yeah, I don't. I haven't even had much coffee, so I suck. So as far as the 4th, I remember waking up. I don't remember the next 3 or 4 hours after that, but I do remember logging into WoW and killing a bunch of people. It was well worth it. Cooked something for dinner, watched a little bit of fireworks, kept the cats indoors, didn't do a whole lot. And then the other 4th, I was born on the 4th, so I did that on the 4th. Let's see, Sindar slept on the 4th. Apparently, Sindar is a cat burrowing under covers. Go figure. Jesse, oh, poor Jesse. Jesse went out for hot pot. Dia, basically, you know, I'm going to quote Dia. Honestly, by my 4th time, I already had an experience. I was less shy about making a mistake. I knew my limits, knew exactly how much force to use, so nothing broke. My partner was a bit older than me, and she assured me that there was nothing to worry about. But I was still not confident I would get my driver's license. And then Tavi went to an anime expo with her mom and aunt, fun times, and Fal was like, fuck that shit, and went back to sleep. There you go. Don't ask me what Ryan did. I don't even remember if Ryan was home or not. Well, he was home the next day, because on the 5th we went to a baseball game. Yes. A baseball game. And then, while at the baseball game, I found out that one of my field supervisors actually played hockey for the local ice hockey team. So we went and got a card. He actually had a trading card. And then my partner at Routing did the same thing. And now we have them on our backgrounds for teams. And then when he logged in and saw them, he's like, oh my God, what have I done? And we're like, you fucked your life over, boy. And that is the 4th.
That.
My. Now, if I can remember how to hang up my frickin' phone.
4th, my phone.
That was absolutely fantastic. This is why I literally described Dame Vemrose as what I described her as, with the fact she is a bitch I would not fuck with. Like, I meant that with all the love, because she is evil on levels I can't even think of.
I'm glad she's on our team.
Yeah, I'm proud to be mentored by that woman. She's amazing.
All right. Well, let's see what this next caller has to say.
You know, my 4th of July was probably the lamest and kind of coolest and cheapest I've had in a very long time. We sent our kids off like 3 days earlier to go camping with Granny and Pops, and then we joined them on the 4th, just the day. Went and did a little bit of swimming. Out on the Hood Canal. But what was cool is that we were at the campground that's on the Hood Canal, and so we were able to just go down to the shore, set up chairs, and watch every single private fireworks show that was going on up and down the canal, both directions. It was really cool. Kind of lame, because we didn't do any of our own fireworks. We couldn't in the park. And so once we were tired of the fireworks, we loaded up in the car and drove the hour-long drive home. So, again, kind of lame, but also kind of cool.
Hey, actually, but actually,
that, that's not lame at all. That's economical.
Yeah, actually, no. So now I get to talk about some of the 4th of July's I spent out on Lake Morton, in the white privilegeville. But yes, little lake that actually had that. That's basically what you did. Is everybody fired off their fireworks, right? So it's, and also even on the Purdy Spit. I mean, so there's lots of places down there that people are doing their own private fireworks, so there might even be a big show somewhere that you might be able to see. But yeah, I don't see any reason to ever have to light off any of my own money in fireworks because everybody else is doing it.
Exactly.
So,
like I said, economical.
It's economical.
Not lame at all.
No, it's not. Well, let's see what this. I know this next caller is not lame.
Well, my 4th was spent staying alive. I was fighting the ritual of having made it another year around the sun. Had to work on my birthday, though, which always happens. Because, you know, national holiday, people don't close for national holiday and the kind of jobs I've had in the past. So I worked overnight going into the 4th, got maybe an hour's nap, watched the parade downtown with my family. They came down from where they lived to come see me for birthday and festivities. After that, we had a barbecue at my church that we attended. So that was nice. I got to hang out with my church peeps, and the rector got up and was like, okay, everybody, it's Jen's birthday today. We're all going to sing. So it was like worse than, you know, Applebee's, because it was an entire congregation instead of just, you know, a group of maybe 5 servers all going, happy birthday, dear Jennifer. I'm like, oh, God, tell me. No, but it was cool. It was nice to know that everybody cared so much. Got another nap, and then I had to go right back to work that night. So, yeah, it was, hour-wise, it was mostly spent working, but, as far as spiritual rewards and emotional hugs and stuff like that, it was a good 4th and a good birthday. Hope y'all's was good too. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Bye. Yeah. I'd say, yeah, I'm not going to discuss the spiritual stuff that happened for me during this whole time period. But yeah, I'd say that. I think all in all, I'd say, yeah, I think it was a very good, it all worked its way out the way it needed to. So
that's right. And we'll make sure to play a special birthday song for Dame Jennifer in Studio 33.
Yeah.
You honor another trip around the sun that she has successfully made without earning stripes or being in orange for killing stupid motherfuckers at the Waffle House.
Exactly. All right. Well, let's. We got one more call here, at least right now, and we'll see what this caller brings.
Yeah, it's the Phoenix Effect with the Lotus and Foam Boy, or something like that. So how was my fourth of July? It was pretty awesome, actually. Watch the kids pop stuff. It's extremely stressful as an adult with a bunch of boys trying to keep them from maiming one another or themselves with quite literally explosives. I don't know. It's an odd holiday, like not the reason behind it, but the fact that we, you know, package up little bits of explosive and then give them to our kids with something fiery red hot to light the fuse with. Hey, oh, I got a ripe blackberry. Awesome. So, yeah. Our 4th of July was pretty neat. We have a basketball court right across the street, so we take all the stuff up there and let the kids pop it. And, you know, fun stuff. And we got back to town on the 4th and got to popping a bunch of shit. And then I took my older kids back up to the little fireworks stand in town, because where I live, there's only one. And generally speaking, he's a little bit more expensive because he's the only one in town.
we got back this year from going and buying fireworks. It turns out he was like $10 cheaper, sometimes $20 cheaper on the big multi-shot cakes. So we went back up there in the evening. He was like, oh, yeah, buy one, get one free. So, shit, I spent another $100 so that the kids could pop some more stuff. It was fun. It's a grand old time. Hopefully everybody still got all their digits and had a good time themselves. Okay, bye.
Bye. Yeah, that's just,
that is awesome.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. Yeah, actually, it's kind of, anyway. We're done with the, we're actually done with the voicemail now. I think we've got all of this. So, by the way.
And it sounds like a lot of people had a fantastic time.
They had a great goddamn time.
Yeah, they had a great goddamn time. Well, yeah. Okay, so, and sounds so, by, like the, and by the way, you can still, if you haven't told us about your 4th of July, or a memory of a past 4th of July, weigh in on 253-237-3321. Now, I think we can actually talk about what happened with us yesterday, because this is...
Oh, yes.
Okay, so, all right, so this is the day... Okay, so, for context, right, so we had to... you had to go do some car maintenance, and that usually involves us going to Cookeville, so that's... So, anyway, we had to kind of factor that into the day, and also recognizing it was a couple of days after my birthday, and we don't usually go to Cookeville for things we decided to sort of make a day of it. However, what happened when did the day start for me? Oh, at 4 a.m. when my sinuses were so locked that I needed some Afrin in order to even just be able to breathe. And then, yeah, and it sort of it started from there. And so, yeah, I had a rough start to the morning, about 4 hours of sleep. And then, we had to be in at about 9 for the to do the maintenance on your vehicle. Right.
That's right. And we actually made it on time, and we even enjoyed that part of the day because my dealership is super white priv swag.
Yeah,
they're great.
Yes. Okay. So now I've been in, now having been in the Pacific Northwest, actually, so let's put it this way. The ones I've been in had baristas. Yes, they actually had.
Nobody likes a bragger.
Yes, however, still for I don't know. I won't call Cookeville a quaint Southern town. It's a little bit bigger than the one we live in, and
it's actually a college town. In fairness,
it is a college town. Some of the big stores are there. Not all of them, but anyway, it's a place we go sometimes when we need to do certain things. And yeah, unfortunately, when you have a white privileged car, yeah, that you have to. Yeah, that's like with a Toyota dealer. It costs money. Anyway, so we did there, and we actually sat there for a couple hours, and we hotspotted and worked on the script and that kind of thing. And then we decided we were gonna go bowling. And because the bowling alley in Cookeville is a lot nicer. That looks like they upgraded it sometime in the last, I don't know, 20 years or something, whereas the one in Crossville looks like it's pretty much the same shit it's been since forever. And yeah.
Well, let's not forget the fact, before we went to the bowling alley, we went and dropped 2 bills at the Bath and Body Works conglomerate.
Yes.
We went and dropped 2 bills at the candy store, yeah, where we replaced Jolly Roger, who is now known as the Dread Pirate Roberts.
Yes, exactly, because it's not the original, right? And if you know anything about the character in the Princess Bride, yeah, that's kind of what. Yeah, well, there is. It's more of a franchise, is the way I kind of describe it. But yes, it's not the original, and yeah, I figured the Jolly Roger was a cursed name, and so we're not going to use it anymore, and so it is now the Dread Pirate Roberts.
But we found also some awesome stuff, including the tray that I put in the chat, yeah, which is actually a glass rolling tray.
Yeah, let me
I've never seen one of these before. Of course, we're not using it for that. We're actually using it for me as a place to put like my book of matches and my AirPod case and whatnot during the show, because it fits perfectly underneath the riser where the Rodecaster sits for the show. And it is just so pretty that the deal the man made me for it, I could not pass up.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it is actually, yeah. So when we talk, yeah, when this is actually, yeah, it's a very nice piece. Yeah, when I go, we don't go in there very often because, yeah, it's, I don't get out to Cookeville.
Because we always spend more than a couple hundos when we go, and yeah, it's like a 45-minute drive.
Yeah, exactly. So we usually only go when we have some reason. We did. So we actually, and yeah, we discovered that, yeah, probably eating out around here is still probably not a great idea, and this is because because, you know, one of the, you know, when you realize that, you know, sort of, I've sort of reconfirmed over the last couple of weeks too, right, with my, with diet, things in my diet that I should probably keep out. Like, for example, like, you had made some chicken korma. It was very good, right? Problem is that it uses a lot of cashews. Well, yeah, that, you know, and unfortunately that flares up my allergies. And that's, and so, yeah, it's one of those, I can have it once in a while, but that's probably not something I should have all the time, and I should definitely not eat nuts all the time. So we sort of confirmed that, and I think we also, my issue with the, you know, with the eating the peaches with, you know, the sort of the, you know, the sinus migraine shit, which, you know, again, there's enough other, you know, I can, if I'm not, if my system's not inflamed from all the sugar, I can better tolerate the things that just sort of make my allergies bad, right? And I can actually, and I'm actually okay most of the time. So I find that not, so it's like, okay, it's almost like I'm allergic to sugar now. And that makes it really hard when, you know, when we have to go to a place now. Yeah, we did the whole sort of, we were those people. I'm like, yeah, I can't, I'm gluten free. I can't have that, right? And so
it was rough.
Yeah, it was a little rough to do that. And unfortunately, that the place that we chose, you know, had some service quality issues, and we probably will not be back there. But anyway, that was but we tried to eat something, right? And while we were out, but I've realized that if I want to do any sort of traveling out and have to deal with restaurants, that I'm going to have to work really hard to find stuff that's not going to kill me, in more ways than one. So. That's a challenge, but hopefully we won't be doing that. But hopefully, being home, I won't have to do that.
That's right.
Yeah. So, but anyway, is there anything else? So, and then was there anything else we want to say about Friday? I mean, we did Ride Your Radio last night. Anything else? I mean,
we did. I was actually, I mean, we had a 9 p.m. start because we wanted to take just a couple extra minutes to kind of rebalance after getting home from such a full day.
Yeah, and anyway, yeah, there's just we needed some time to reconnect and refocus, and yeah, it was good. We want to, when we're on mic, we want to make sure we are the best version of ourselves that we can be, sometimes we need that. We need a little extra time to
get that. y'all know how low that bar is to begin with, so.
Yeah. Yeah. So regardless, so I think that's it. I mean, I don't think I think everything else is that we've done is, yeah, I think we've covered everything. It's just more of the same. And yeah, but I think we are taking more steps to just in general to kind of clean things up. I feel like just in general, we've done a whole lot more to kind of recognize that, yeah, we've got these inefficiencies here. We probably need to do some consolidation cleanup. And it feels nice to actually be able to do that now. And, you know. Just as an overall exercise,
exactly.
Yeah.
And honestly, we're hoping we're not locking in because anything can happen between now and then. But we are hoping to attend the Granger County Tomato Festival this coming Friday with the fam. They're going to have a separate vehicle because that way, if we need to bounce or we want to, because we still intend to be on mic on Friday evening, we're just going to spend the day as kind of undercover celebrities, if you will, at the Tomato Festival doing the family thing, getting some beautiful tomatoes, only the best, because, oh my gosh, Granger County tomatoes are like, they're amazing. They're just so
yummy. The fact that I'm willing to eat them should tell you how good they are. So,
and there's some interesting things to be seen. Mom gets to bring her pupper with her, which is good because there's like watering stations for the aminals and
yeah, exactly.
There's little misting stations for the humans because good God, it does get very warm there. So
anyways,
I think it'll be something that you enjoy, or at the very least, we can say we did that.
Yeah, exactly. It was one of those things I didn't realize it needed to be on the bucket list, but it's here. You wanted to do it, and yeah, I don't see an issue with it. Like, yeah, I mean, I can't. You know,
it started off as kind of a small thing, and it just kind of has grown from there. Like, Mom wants to go, and I'm trying to be good to my mom because I don't know how much longer I have her for.
Yeah.
So I'm being very mindful of certain things.
Exactly. Well, yeah, we're going to be mindful of certain things, but that'll be next week, but yeah, hopefully, tomatoes. Anyway.
Oh, I can definitely see a caprese in our future with some big old fat Granger County tomatoes.
Okay, so I think
But you know what? That must be the munchies talking. I think it's time to get high.
I'll take a drink, and my name's Smoke Little Reef. You know, I like to smoke. Rayford, you know, I'd relax as many other things. Couple of doobies, you know, just to get you through the day and everything, but I do not freebase cocaine.
That's right. I do not freebase cocaine. I may know people who have and do, but I myself will not. But you know what? I do love the good, not gonna lie. And I love the fact that by using hemp flour and oil, you can make gluten-free baked goods with optimal texture and significant nutrition. Wow, I can't even talk. According to a new study.
Put it into a blender. And soon it will render. These little fudge brownies that help me get stoned.
Now, a new study suggests that hemp seed and hemp oil can be made into a promising gluten-free flour mix that offers an optimal baked texture along with significant nutritional impact.
Beautiful. Yum.
So the research from a 6-person team at the University of Calabria in Italy. Utilia. Wow, write that shit down.
Utilia?
Don't ask. No, Utilia. Don't ask me how to spell it. It was my mouth that it came out of. Let me try again. The research from a 6-person team at the University of Calabria in Italy used hemp seed flour and oil to make gluten-free cupcakes, testing various parameters to explore the feasibility of hemp as an alternative flour. Initially, authors found that replacing butter with hemp oil in a traditional recipe made with 00 wheat flour, which we looked up what that is, Phone Boy. You want to explain it to
the
listeners? Yeah,
it's a very fine... It's like the espresso of flour, I guess, because it's very finely ground.
So, that being said, now that reduced the consistency of the cupcake batter. But when the wheat flour was replaced entirely with hemp flour, the batter's consistency was restored.
Ta-da!
Replacing butter with CBD-enriched hemp oil reduced batter consistency. The subsequent gradual incorporation of hemp flour led to a further decrease, according to the paper that was published in the journal Molecules. Now, according to this study, a mix of hemp and maize, corn flour, didn't meaningfully improve the consistency. However, when the hemp flour was used exclusively, the consistency of the batter was restored to a level comparable of the traditional formulation, according to the study, and the results were an optimal baked texture.
Yay!
In addition to detailing a process authors described as an efficient method for extracting CBD-rich oil, which involves maceration along with the use of microwaves, they found that hemp oil presents a viable alternative to traditional oils and fats for creating functional foods.
No shit, Sherlock.
We stoners have known that forever. But evaluating various physical properties of the resulting hemp flour oil mix, researchers concluded that hemp oil and hemp flour are viable ingredients for traditional cakes and desserts, notably contributing increased nutritional value through the CBD-enriched hemp oil and the beneficial profile of hemp flour.
Yeah, and it's not inflammatory like fucking wheat is, which is the other thing.
This is really promising, and yes, okay, yeah. I'm going to say it for those who want to lose their shit. It is actually a promising advantage for possibly vegan baked goods, just saying.
Yeah.
Because it replaces the butter,
yeah.
So you don't have that factor. And if they want to get all up their asses about the wheat, well, it replaces that too, which is where I'm kind of hopeful. I'm looking forward to finding some hemp flour and hemp oil and seeing what can be made in the future.
Yeah, I think that might be good because, yeah, I mean, I'm sure they used to use this well before the Industrial Revolution because, yeah, you know, the Dow Chemical Company couldn't, you know, I don't know, anyway, something with paper and anyway, but you know what, I'm not imagining the munchies. I mean, I have the munchies right now, but maybe, but what's actually happening to your brain when you have the munchies?
This is drugs. This is your brain on drugs. Any questions?
Yeah, do you serve that with bacon and a side of toast?
Bacon. Anyway, in case you're curious, the term munchies actually comes from The Charles T. Tart famous 1971 study on being stoned, where 150 marijuana users were observed and their cravings for sweets were noted by researchers. Oh my God, I'd love to participate in that fucking study.
Yeah, where's the Wayback Machine for that boy? Where's Mr. Peabody?
Yeah, exactly. So what exactly is happening to your body and your appetite when you're high?
I am stoned!
Yes. Now, the two most common components of cannabis are the cannabidiol, the CBD, and the tetrahydrocannabinol, the THC. Now, THC is the most psychoactive component in cannabis and ultimately the cause of the munchies. And researchers believe there are two possible reasons why. Oh, let's see what this bullshit is. And one, in order for a drug to work, it has to find receptors in the body. Now, the receptors that THC interact with are located in our central nervous system, essentially the brain and the parts of the brain that stimulate appetite, says Rachna Patel, MD, who counsels patients on medical CBD and cannabis use. The THC triggers your appetite whether you're hungry or not.
You're not you when you're hungry.
Actually, I will say that if you eat a little something after you consume, this works with edibles, it works with the smoke, it actually brings on and enhances the high.
Well, yeah, you need it to be able to digest it in some cases, right? So now you could also be feeling hungry because weed may have an impact on a hormone secreted in your stomach called ghrelin. This hormone signals the brain that your body is hungry and stimulates your appetite. And marijuana has the capability to release ghrelin, according to Gary Wenk, PhD, psychology and neuroscientist professor and an academic research representative for Ohio's Medical Marijuana Advisory Board.
It's really smart. It's a brain.
It's looking for food. All right. And if you're looking for a way to control the munchies, there's an option. Control the amount of THC you consume. Right. Yeah. At state-regulated dispensaries, many products are required to be lab-tested and labeled with the amount of CBD and THC they have. You need to figure out an amount of THC that's right for you, said Patel, and you may want to hit a sweet spot in terms of the amount where it's giving you the effect you're looking for, but not the munchies. Right. Yeah.
Good luck. It is hard to dial in just the right amount. And honestly, any amount of the munchies, if you are not high enough, can quickly take your high away. Or maybe that's just my experience, but irrelevant to the fact, the munchies aren't the worst thing. Just make good choices when you get the munchies. Just because you have them doesn't mean you have to reach for the Ho-Hos and the, you know, Reese's peanut butter cups and everything. You can truly have a snack that's not going to derail you if you have the munchies. Pork rinds are a great snack. I like celery and cream cheese, even pickles and cream cheese. Oh my gosh. So I saw a new recipe. It was actually sent to me through email from Primal Kitchen. And we're going to actually try this on Sunday, I think. I'm really excited to do this. They're pickle sandwiches. Instead of the bun, you use a large kosher dill pickle.
I think I've actually had a sandwich at a plate... I'm exactly like that.
This needs to live in our life. It looks so delicious.
Yeah, we love pickles, so I think it's
yes,
good.
Yes, we do. And actually, today is the Pickle Fest in Putnam County. Yeah. I forgot about that.
No, that's right. That's right. We were when we were driving around yesterday. We found that out. But
we did.
All right. Well,
I think it might be time to turn it on and off again, though, sir.
Hello, IT. Have you tried turning it off and on again? Have you tried sticking it up your arse?
Yes, this is something you can stick up your arse. Pay up or stop scraping. Cloudflare program charges bots for each crawl. In a blog post last Tuesday, Cloudflare explained that its pay-per-crawl feature is currently in private beta. A small number of publishers and content creators will participate in the experiment. Each publisher will be able to set their own price that bots must pay before scraping their content, according to Cloudflare.
All the time our customers ask us, how do you make money doing this? The answer is simple. Volume.
Matthew Prince, CEO of Cloudflare, said the feature would ensure that the internet as we know it will survive the age of AI. Original content is what makes the internet one of the greatest inventions in the last century, and it's an essential that creators continue making it, said Prince. AI crawlers have been scraping content without limits. Our goal is to put the power back in the hands of the creators while still helping AI companies innovate. This is about safeguarding the future of a free and vibrant internet with a new model that works for everyone.
Oh, there's no winning. We don't like to foster a competitive atmosphere, but we laugh a lot. Now everyone hug and share a secret.
Now, some participating publishers expressed optimism in the press release that Cloudflare's pay-per-crawl feature could potentially stop the endless scraping that publishers defending copyrights have alleged represents wide-scale theft.
Downloading films is stealing. If you do it, you will face the consequences.
Any content creators interested in joining the beta can sign up, Cloudflare noted, and perhaps eventually they too can be compensated for their contributions to the AI economy.
Yeah, and monkeys might fly out of my butt.
Okay, I have to. I've been kind of sitting here thinking about this because, you know, when I put these stories together, I don't. And, you know, this is part of me sitting here looking at, you know, I don't always read it while I don't read it as closely sometimes when I'm putting it together. But when I'm sitting here looking at this, I'm going, you know, isn't that really funny? So Cloudflare is this kind of this, I would call it middleware. And actually, I still use it. I think I still have it. One of my websites actually still goes through Cloudflare. But any, they basically offer, like, you know, I don't know, they provide some, they provide you sort of a web application firewall, a very basic one. They provide some, you know, content distribution kind of shit, right? So they kind of.
They also take down airlines.
Yeah. They get in the middle of everything. And then so I kind of find it's going, well, you know, maybe we should charge the AI companies for scraping other people's content, and we should. Oh, look, we're in the middle. We're going to get all the money out of this. Yeah, you know, I mean, there's, you know. So now, first of all, so, you know, it costs Cloudflare money to do it. So fine, if that's what they want to do. But like, I somehow feels disingenuous. I can't even get my brain. It just breaks my brain that this company. They're suggesting this is a problem, by the way. I'm not saying that the problem that Cloudflare is trying to solve is in fact a real problem. Of course, I think the other problem that they're not talking about here is the fact that, well, you know, the way people find things on the internet used to be doing a search, right? Well, now when you go to a search engine, you get an AI answer. You don't get a search engine answer; you get an AI engine. Now, if you always want to get a search engine answer, maybe go to Kagi and pay for a subscription, or set up a CRX instance, or use a CRX instance, or whatever the fuck you want to do. But basically, like, yeah. We're not, you know, basically even people that are creating content, when you've got content creators that are using AI and they're generating shit content.
Oh,
right?
My God. We totally had this conversation on Two and a Half Bens with Sir Ryan Bemrose the other week. Yeah. And I've noticed it more on YouTube that you can so tell when an AI is reading the supposed emails that it's being fed, because you have things like a human being would read 3 M's as nope, an AI reads it as MMM. It is very annoying when you're listening to created content that's being read by an automated voice. I can't stand it, to the point when I called my dealership to get my service done, when this automated bitch, I think her name is Becky, I don't fucking know, I couldn't care enough to remember her name, but the point being, when she came on and asked, how can I help you, my immediate response was customer service. Because I was not fucking around with an AI. I'm not making an appointment for my car through you. No thank you, pass.
Yes, now, I like talking to humans, and this is, okay, so.
That's right. So in the meantime, only the publishers involved in the beta will be able to choose which bots can access which parts of their sites, experimenting with blocking all bots or allowing certain bots to access certain content. Cloudflare's program also gives them the flexibility to charge some bots while letting other bots scrape for free. This lets publishers that have negotiated deals with AI companies to allow approved scraping while still protecting their content from companies that have not yet struck licensing deals. So for Cloudflare's plan to work, AI companies must sign up also. However, while some AI companies may not see the incentive, Cloudflare has confirmed that it has partnered with AI companies on the initiative, which may benefit from having a simple interface to negotiate with content creators. Cloudflare suggested its AI partners benefit from long-term collaboration with creators who upload content with help AI products stay relevant. They also can stop wasting money scraping poor quality data sources, according to the blog from Cloudflare.
This is America, you dumb son of a bitch, okay?
Cloudflare's announcement comes after rolling out a feature last September allowing website owners to block AI crawlers in a single click. According to the company, over 1 million customers chose to block AI crawlers, signaling that people want more control over their content at a time when Cloudflare observed that writing instructions for AI crawlers in robots.txt files was widely underutilized. To protect more customers moving forward, any new customers, including anyone on a free plan, who sign up for Cloudflare services will have their domains, by default, set to block all AI crawlers.
It's a step in the right direction after all.
Now, I will say, right, this is because I'm dealing with the business side of this, unfortunately. So one of the things you sort of risk by doing that, though, however, is not your product, service, whatever, not being known by AI. So if you're actually trying to sell something, that could actually create a problem for you, right? Because
it's a double-edged sword, but you have to weigh and decide what is more important for you.
Yeah, exactly. So it's,
but also this is where being able to say, you know, I'm going to allow AI bot 1 to scrape but not 3, 5 and 7. I mean, it's more control, or like you said, if you just want to block it all, then you have that option. And to be honest, I'm not sure that I'm all in with not blocking it. I've said it before and I will continue to say it. I don't like AI. I don't think it's the future. I think it is a thinly veiled demon, or daemon, either way you want to, you know, pronounce it, just waiting to take over the world. This shit is absolutely Daniel Suarez, like, come to life.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we've got three more stories on AI or that involve AI.
It wouldn't be our show and the Lotus Tech Tips if we didn't.
Yes, unfortunately, yes. So now we have the New York Times who is starting to search deleted ChatGPT logs because, well, they lost something in court to OpenAI.
I object, Your Honor, and I move to strike.
Actually, OpenAI lost.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, they lost. Yeah, they beat OpenAI. That's right. So a couple weeks ago, OpenAI raised objections in court, hoping to overturn a court order requiring the AI company to retain all ChatGPT logs indefinitely. Oh, God. Yeah, that's not going to end well, including deleted and temporary chats. Now, but Sydney Stein, the U.S. district judge reviewing OpenAI's request, immediately denied OpenAI's objections. He was seemingly unmoved by the company's claims that the order forced OpenAI to abandon long-standing privacy norms and weaken privacy protections that users expect based on ChatGPT's terms of service.
Your Honor, I object!
And why is that, Mr. Reed?
Because it's devastating to my case!
Now, rather, Stein suggested that OpenAI's user agreement specified that their data could be retained as part of a legal process, which Stein says is exactly what is happening now. Well, no shit. The order was issued by Magistrate Judge Ona Wang just days after news organizations led by the New York Times requested it. The news plaintiffs claimed that the order was urgently needed to preserve potential evidence in their copyright case, alleging that ChatGPT users are likely to delete chats where they attempted to use the chatbot to skirt paywalls to access news content.
Don't steal. The government hates competition.
Now, a spokeshole told Ars Technica that OpenAI plans to keep fighting the order, but ChatGPT maker seems to have few options left. They could possibly petition the Second Circuit Court of Appeals for a rarely granted emergency order that could intervene to block Wang's order, but the appeals court would have to consider Wang's order an extraordinary abuse of discretion for OpenAI to win that fight. Now, OpenAI's spokesholder declined to confirm if the company plans to pursue this extreme remedy.
I know nothing.
Now, in the meantime, OpenAI is negotiating a process that will allow news plaintiffs to search through the retained data. Perhaps the sooner that the process begins, the sooner the data will be deleted. And that possibility puts OpenAI in the difficult position of having to choose between either caving to some data collection to stop retaining data as soon as possible or prolonging the fight in order and potentially putting more users' private conversations at risk of exposure through litigation or, worse, a data breach.
You are being watched. The government has a secret system, a machine that spies on you every hour of every day.
Or maybe people can just stop discussing their innermost thoughts with a fucking computer. I mean, and then they're definitely using your data to improve the service or something. I don't know. Anyway, while it's clear that OpenAI has been and will continue to retain mounds of data, it would be impossible for the New York Times or any news plaintiff to search through all that data. Bullshit! While it's clear that OpenAI has been and will continue to retain mounds of data, it would be impossible for the... I already did all that. Okay. Instead, only a small sample of the data will likely be accessed based on keywords that OpenAI and news plaintiffs agree on. That data will remain on OpenAI servers where it will be anonymized, and it will likely never be directly produced to plaintiffs. Right. Both sides are negotiating the exact process for searching through the chat logs, with both parties seemingly hoping to minimize the amount of time the chat logs will be preserved.
We don't care. We don't have to.
For OpenAI, sharing the logs revealing instances of infringing outputs that could further spike the damages in the case. And the logs could also expose how often outputs attribute misinformation to news plaintiffs. So wait, this lawsuit is about the M5M complaining that AI is scraping their shit and not giving them attribution? Well, it explains why the AI is getting dumber, but anyway, well, that too. But, you know, I mean. Well,
and this is a prime example of why I keep telling everyone AI is not the future. AI is going to wreck humanity.
AI is the next is your fucking nightmare is what it is.
It is, and it's being given free rein. That's the sad part. Everyone just thinks this is so wonderful. And I'm truly horrified by it. And I think that this next story really, really screams of massive breaches to the CIA triad, but don't get me fucking started, because McDonald's AI hiring bot exposed millions of applicants' data to hackers who tried the password 123456.
Don't!
So if you want a job at McDonald's today, there's a good chance you'll have to talk to Olivia. Olivia is not, in fact, a human being, but instead an AI chatbot that screens applicants asking for their contact information and resume, directs them to a personality test, and occasionally makes them go insane by repeatedly misunderstanding their most basic questions.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Until last week, the platform that runs the Olivia chatbot, built by artificial intelligence software firm Paradox.ai, also suffered from absurdly basic security flaws. As a result, virtually any hacker could have accessed the records of every chat Olivia ever had with McDonald's applicants, including all the personal information they shared in those conversations, with tricks as straightforward as guessing that an administrator account's username and password was 123456.
The combination is 12345.
That's the stupidest combination I ever heard in my life! That's the kind of thing an idiot would have on his luggage!
So on Wednesday, security researchers Ian Carroll and Sam Curry revealed that they found simple methods to hack into the back end of the AI chatbot platform on McHire.com, McDonald's website that many of its franchisees use to handle job applications. Carroll and Curry, hackers with a long track record of independent security testing, discovered that simple web-based vulnerabilities, including guessing one laughably weak password, allowed them to access a Paradox.ai account and query the company's databases that held every McHire user's chats with Olivia.
Don't look over here.
Nothing to see here.
Ooh, look at that.
The data appears to include as many as 64 million records, including applicants' names, email addresses, and phone numbers. Carroll says he only discovered that appalling lack of security around applicants' information because he was intrigued by McDonald's decision to subject potential new hires to an AI chatbot screener and personality test. I just thought it was pretty uniquely dystopian compared to a normal hiring process, right? And that's what made me want to look into it more, says Carol. So I started applying for a job. And then after 30 minutes, we had full access to virtually every application that's ever been made to McDonald's going back years.
One eternity later.
Carol says he became interested in the security of the McHire website after spotting a Reddit post complaining about McDonald's hiring chatbot wasting applicants' time with nonsense responses and misunderstandings. He and Curry started talking to the chatbot themselves, testing it for prompt injection vulnerabilities that can enable someone to hijack a large language model and bypass its safeguards by sending it certain commands. When they couldn't find any such flaws, they decided to see what would happen if they signed up as a franchisee to get access to the back end of the site, but instead spotted a curious logon link on McHire.com for staff at Paradox.ai, the company that built the site.
Gotcha, bitch!
On a whim, Carol says he tried two of the most common sets of login credentials, the username and password admin, and the username and password 1 through 6. The second of those two tries worked. It's more common than you'd think, Carol says. There appeared to be no multi-factor authentication for that Paradox.ai login page.
This, the thrill of pwning a system. This is the greatest rush. Got access. The feeling never gets old.
With those credentials, Carolyn Curry could see they now had administrator access to test McDonald's restaurant on McHire. And they figured out all the employees listed there appeared to be Paradox.ai developers, seemingly based in Vietnam.
It's a beach party, Vietnam, surfing with the Viet Cong, cooking hot dogs with napalm. A beach party, Vietnam.
They found a link within the platform to apparent test job postings for that non-existent McDonald's location, clicked on one posting, applied to it, and could see their own application on the back-end system they now had access to. In its blog post, Paradox.ai notes that the test account had, quote, not been logged into since 2019 and, frankly, should have been decommissioned.
That's how you know you fucked up.
That's when Carolyn Curry discovered the second crucial vulnerability in McHire. When they started messing with the applicant ID number for their application, a number somewhere above 64 million, they found that they could increment it down to a smaller number and see someone else's chat logs and contact information. The two security researchers hesitated to access too many applicants' records for fear of privacy violations or hacking charges, but when they spot-checked a handful of the 64 million-plus IDs, all of them showed real, very real, applicant information.
This is a problem.
Paradox.ai says that the researchers accessed 7 records in total and 5 contained personal information of people who had interacted with the McHire site. Carolyn Curry also shared with Wired a small sample of the applicants' names, contact information, and the date of their applications. Wired got in touch with the applicants via their exposed contact info, and they confirmed that they had, in fact, had applications for jobs at McDonald's on the specified dates.
Well, no shit.
Did we expect they were going to find anything different? I mean, this is huge. Anyone who's applied for Mickey Don Don's, your info is just out there for anyone to easily hack in if you know how to work an admin back end, which if you have any kind of computing knowledge, you fucking do.
Yeah, well, and if you think that justice is going very well, well, yeah, this next story will certainly screw that up any more than you already thought about it. So the cops have an AI tool that they use, and it automatically deletes evidence of when AI was used.
I didn't do it. Nobody saw me do it. There's no way they can prove anything.
Now, on Thursday, a digital rights group, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, published an expansive investigation into AI-generated police reports that the group alleges are, by design, nearly impossible to audit and could make it easier for cops to lie under oath.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
Yeah, Axon's Draft 1 debuted last summer at a police department in Colorado, instantly raising questions about the feared negative impacts of AI-written police reports on the criminal justice system. The tool relies on a ChatGPT variant to generate police reports based on body camera audio, which cops are then supposed to edit to correct any mistakes. Assess the AI outputs for bias or add key context.
Okay, James Bond, let's go mess this shit up.
No, I can tell you. I can tell you 1,000%, okay, that I've watched some of these cop cam videos and the translation on the bottom, the transcript, is so fucking far off. It is unbelievable. But please, continue to tell us about it.
Now, the EFF found that the text seemed designed to stymie any attempts at auditing, transparency, and accountability. Cops don't have to disclose when AI is used in every department, and Draft 1 does not save drafts or retain a record showing which parts of reports are AI-generated.
Move on! Nothing to see here! Please disperse! Nothing to see here! Please!
So, departments also don't retain different versions of drafts, making it difficult to assess how one version of an AI report might compare to another to help the public determine if the technology is junk, the EFF said. That raises the question, the EFF suggested. Why wouldn't an agency want to maintain a record that can establish the technology's accuracy? Yeah, well, I can tell you that there's probably I wouldn't be really surprised if there's a lot of things that are operating under the guise of legality that aren't legal at all. Certainly happening in the UK, probably happening here as well, right? This is just yet another way that this is getting that we're losing our sovereignty. We're allowing systems that we've built that are supposed to serve and protect. We always ask the question, well, who are they serving and protecting, right? But this is supposed to protect the public, and doesn't seem like the public's being protected here, because we don't know what a machine's making shit up, you know. Anyway, it's currently hard to know if cops are editing reports or reflexively rubber stamping the drafts to move on as quickly as possible, the EFF said. That's particularly troubling, the EFF noted, since Axon disclosed to at least one police department that there's already been an occasion when engineers discovered a bug that allowed officers on at least three occasions to circumvent the guardrails that supposedly deter officers from submitting AI-generated reports without reading them first.
He's a lazy fucking cunt.
Yeah, they're lazy fucking cunts like everybody else. The AI tool could also possibly be overstepping in its interpretation of the audio, possibly misinterpreting slang or adding context that never happened. Or, you know, not seeing the fact that, you know, because there's things that an AI is never going to fucking see, right? That you can, if you're actually watching the video, right, and you can see things, you can feel things that an AI is never going to see, because it's not, because they can't see the energy of the person on the screen or whatever. So you're having a blind, stupid computer do the work a human should be doing. Oh my God. Anyway, so... Yes, a major concern, the EFF said, is that the AI reports can give cops a smokescreen, perhaps even allowing them to dodge consequences for lying on the stand by blaming the AI tool for any biased language, inaccuracies, misinterpretations, or lies in their reports.
Deny, 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 right?
Yeah, there's no record showing whether the culprit was the officer or the AI, the EFF said. This makes it extremely difficult, if not impossible, to assess how the system affects justice outcomes over time. Yeah. You know, meaning that whole your accuser thing, now we're getting accused by AI of doing shit that they're claiming we didn't do? Yeah.
Things we didn't say. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You wonder why we're concerned about AI? Well, you've got all four of these stories give you a reason to be fucking concerned about AI if you're not already.
And if you're not, then you're not paying attention.
No, you're not. Well, you
must be living in idiocracy for sure.
Humanity was incapable of solving even its most basic problems, like garbage, which had been stacked for centuries.
Yes. And if we're not already living in idiocracy already, right? Because that was the scene from the garbage quake so now we actually do have a garbage problem in this country.
We do, and it's America's hot garbage problem.
Christ, did a cow shit in here?
Last year, Brandy House's annual mammogram returned a grim diagnosis, stage 3 breast cancer. To save her life, she had her breasts removed, then her ovaries. She's free of the disease now and continues to take medication. This was all particularly shocking, says House, who's 50, because her mammogram the year before had been clean. Several of her neighbors on Lincoln Ave in Valverde, California, have similar stories of cancers, autoimmune disorders, or heart problems that seem to come out of nowhere. She and her neighbors say they can't be sure of the cause, but given the number of people who are sick in their community of about 3,000, they have a guess.
Oh, I love trash.
Hidden behind a foothill about 500 yards from House's front door on the northwest edge of L.A. County sits Chiquita Canyon Landfill, one of America's largest repositories of municipal waste. While the landfill has often seemed on the verge of closure, it's grown by more than 200% over the last quarter century House has lived nearby. For a lot of those years, things seemed okay. The truck traffic could be annoying, pungent odors would sometimes waft into town, but it felt like more of a nuisance than a crisis. That is, until the spring of 2023, when a new level of smell settled in.
Ooh, that smell! Can't you smell that smell?
The smell changes from day to day. Sometimes it's like rotten eggs in the sun. Other times, it's more of a mysterious chemical sweetness. No matter what, it stinks. Like many of their neighbors, House and her family gradually stopped using their yard or going outside much at all. But the stench has continued to haunt them inside too, even with windows shut and air filters running. And it's not just a matter of reeking garbage. By the summer, House says she was taking pills to deal with an unrelenting headache. Her husband, Stephen, who almost never got sick, was fighting chronic sinus problems. The youngest of their 4 children, then 11, developed nosebleeds that gushed uncontrollably.
Consult your doctor before using this product. Side effects may include oily discharge, hives, loss of appetite, low blood pressure. If you have diabetes or a history of kidney trouble, you're dead, asshole!
So House and her husband considered selling, but on top of the financial barriers, they struggled with the ethics of putting another family in the same situation. We kind of feel trapped, Brandy said. The family filed a report with the local regulator, the South Coast Air Quality Management District. At that point, in mid-2023, their complaint was one of 900 or so. By the time House got her diagnosis in March 2024, that number had topped 9,500. Since then, the regulator has slapped Chiquita Canyon LLC, a subsidiary of Waste Connections, Inc., with hundreds of air quality and health code violations and ordered it to fix the place up.
Dow bathroom cleaner with scrubbing bubbles. Let us do your dirty work.
Yet the smell has persisted with no simple solution, because what's driving it is something buried beneath the waste. A complex and dangerous chemical reaction whose very nature is in dispute. The state says garbage is smoldering underground as a result of the company's actions. But Waste Connections, like much of the waste industry, says that nothing is on fire and calls it something else, leaving locals like House not only physically ill, but also feeling gaslit about what's happening in their backyards.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Here's the assessment from California's EPA. In early 2022, a closed section in the landfill's northwest corner began overheating, eventually reaching temperatures above 200 degrees Fahrenheit or 93 Celsius. That's nearly 40% hotter than the federal EPA's standard for landfill operations. As the waste slowly cooked, it belched out toxic gases, elevating nearby levels of hydrogen sulfide, carbon monoxide, and benzene, which can damage DNA and cause leukemia after enough exposure. Large amounts of leachate, basically trash juice, built up and bubbled, boiled, and even shot into the air like geysers.
Oh my gosh! Can you see that juice?
One such geyser appeared to gush from a landfill gas well that exceeded the legal limit for benzene, as did several other samples of leche, according to Cal EPA. Other officials cited waste connections for allowing the leche to seep into waterways, an allegation the operator has disputed. Cracks and fissures have worn away at the landfill surface, state regulators say, threatening to rupture storage tanks of toxic leachate, which the company also denies. Health officials are investigating a possible cancer cluster because of the number of residents who have fallen ill.
Holy shit!
Pets have inexplicably dropped dead. Val Verde residents Erin Wakefield says she arrived home more than once to whole swarms of insect carcasses strewn around her property. This is so much bigger than a trash fire, she said. This is a state of emergency.
Emergency. There's an emergency going on. Still going on. And it's still an emergency. This is an emergency announcement.
At the very least, though, the phrase garbage fire, as in the online cliche for a bad situation, is an apt metaphor for the situation in Val Verde and towns like it. At least 10 other U.S. landfills have overheated in similar fashion since 2006, and experts say there are likely far more that haven't been reported. Chronic headaches, nosebleeds, and nausea are common near these sites. At one in Virginia, steaming chimneys of gas and leachate led locals to wear gas masks and tape shut their windows to survive what they called the beast. At another, in St. Louis, responders once drafted evacuation plans for fear that the hot temperatures would spark a nuclear disaster at an adjoining landfill with buried radioactive waste near a community that now has dozens of cancer cases.
As my daddy said, son, it's in the water. That's why it's yellow.
Now, for affected communities, part of the challenge is getting all parties to agree on what's driving these meltdowns, or even what to call them. Nobody has the full measure of what it looks like exactly in the depths of the Chiquita landfill, because most of what's happening is many feet below the surface of the garbage pile, and the range of chemical reactions that arguably constitute fire makes fire a slippery term.
Fire! 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 Fire!
In most cases, the industry's preferred phrase is elevated temperature landfill, or ETLF, which operators say has nothing to do with fire. Regulators often use technical terms like subsurface oxidations or smoldering events, what the less technically minded might call fires without the flames. The neighbors tend to say just fire.
No offense, but it sounds like some fucking commie gobbledygook.
The waste industry does not want to call it burning, even though it smells like burning, says Becky Evander, a former chemical engineer who lives a few miles from Bristol Landfill in Virginia. Even though you see smoke, the distinction isn't trivial. Federal regulations explicitly forbid operations from running landfills in a way that starts fires. By classifying these ailing waste piles as something else, several scientists say the industry points the finger away from their own management practices.
Now you listen to me, Jerkoff. If you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. Quit being part of the fucking problem.
The article goes on about other landfills that have been used well past their expiration date and the fact we've done basically nothing about it. Imagine if an earthquake hit one of those big trash piles along the left coast. Yeah, break open the fucking land and let the oxygen get to those flames. You want to talk about a wildfire out of control?
Yeah.
That trash fire is going to absolutely dwarf any California wildfire ever been seen if that were to happen. And don't get me started on West Virginia, where the coal fires are still to this day burning subterranean.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is this is just a thing waiting to happen. Now this next story, by the way. Yeah, it has to do with wildfires in Idaho. There was an ambush though. A gunman was dead after a sniper attack kills two firefighters.
You're dead, asshole.
Yeah. A man armed with a rifle started a wildfire Sunday and then began shooting at first responders in a northern Idaho mountain community, killing two firefighters and wounding a third during a barrage of gunfire over several hours, authorities said.
I always keep a Magnum in my trunk. You better ask yourself that you feel lucky, punk, because I'm Traeger happy every day.
Yeah, so we've got a shelter-in-place order that was lifted after a tactical response team used cell phone data to hone in on a wooded area where they found the suspect's body with a firearm nearby as flames rapidly approached, Kootenai County Sheriff Bob Norris said. Officials did not release his name, nor did they say what kind of gun he had. We do believe that the suspect started the fire, and we do believe that it was an ambush and it was an intentional, Norris said on a Sunday night news conference. These firefighters did not have a chance. Now, sheriff's officers and crews responded to a fire at Canfield Mountain just north of Coeur d'Alene about 1:30 p.m., and gunshots were reported about a half an hour later. Investigators said the gunman acted alone. Now, Norris said it appeared the sniper was hiding in the rugged terrain and using a high-powered rifle. Now, he said they instructed deputies to fire back. Now, did you hear in the story that the guy was found because he was carrying a fucking cell phone?
Yep. Well, you think he wanted to be found? I do. I don't think he gave a shit. He did what he intended to do, and then he offed himself like a bitch.
Yes, he did. I just figured I'd point that out.
Well done.
All right. Well, and I think we've finally got to the last call.
No, I'm not done yet.
Oh God.
All right.
Do
well,
we have any final voicemails?
I don't think so. No, I don't think we have any messages. But you, of course, you can always call 253-237-3321 anytime you want, and we'll take your all where voicemails are accepted. That's actually one of the places voicemails are accepted is 253-237-3321. Now this was a great story that this is. So we're in our last call segment, which is where we kind of just riff off some couple of headlines just for fun.
And this one definitely caught my attention, being into that kind of shit, because Woody Harrelson fans were left shocked after discovering who his father actually is.
I am your father.
Last month, an account on Instagram called History Feels reminded people that Woody's father is none other than mobster and contract killer Charles Void Harrelson.
What?
Alongside a photo of Charles on trial in the 1980s, the account penned, "Charles Void Harrelson, the father of actor Woody Harrelson, was a contract killer with deep ties to organized crime. In 1979, he was charged with the assassination of U.S. District Judge John H. Wood Jr., the first federal judge to be murdered in the 20th century.
It is out of sheer morbid curiosity I'm allowing this freak show to continue.
I thought that was really interesting that his father was totally a mobster and a contract killer. That's kind of neat. If you've ever seen Natural Born Killers, like, I'm just saying, like, that character, that's how I envision his dad was, like, the character in that movie that he played.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, this is a sad story I was a part of. So HMD is scaling back in the U.S., effectively killing Nokia all over again. Now, for those who don't know, I spent my 2000s working for the mega conglomerate Nokia. Yes. However, I was sold like an asset to a different company. And anyway, so I was part of this watching the rise of the iPhone and the modern smartphone. And I always thought that Nokia should do a whole lot more because they had some decent stuff back in the day. But when they fucked around and found out with Windows Phone and that all failed. And they sold all of that off to a company called HMD Global, which licenses the Nokia brand for new phones and tablets for a long time now. They've announced that they will scale back its U.S. operations and they don't even sell any HMD and Nokia devices at all. It looks like.
Well, fuck.
Yeah, of course. Here's the thing, right? No, okay. So now we're gonna get into a little bit of a smartphone thing. Nokia ran this had this operating system that was called, I think it was S60 or Symbian, depending upon how far back you want to go. But they had a different smartphone operating system back in a time when your phone wasn't connected to the network, all of the time, right? Because of course, we need to be able to receive an MMS that our friends might actually send us at some point in time, or we might want to, I don't know, like whatever the fuck you can do in a modern smartphone. Like back in those days, you didn't do that. You only did it when you needed to. So the operating system was designed for a different set of times, and unfortunately they had functionality that when the iPhone came out in 2007, right? Yeah, Nokia didn't know what to do because what Apple did was basically upend the entire industry. And so Nokia, and then all of a sudden, Android was there and Nokia just kind of bumbled around and they said, "Well, we'll cede it to, we're going to do this partnership with Microsoft." And that's where some of that awful shit that Bemrose probably had to deal with, because the Windows 8 stuff and Vista and all that was kind of in that same, that's where that UI came from, right? The UI that was used from Windows Phone came from Windows 8. And yeah, they just had nothing. And then they said, okay, we're going to make stock Android phones. Well, where's your differentiation? What is it about buying a Nokia device? That's not like you guys didn't put any fucking effort into differentiating your devices. You guys did nothing and say we did, nothing fixed it. Well, you guys did nothing. You guys failed. Fuck off. Like, it's sad because, yeah, we had some good people at Nokia, but couldn't get out of its own fucking way. And they sold it to another company who couldn't get out of its own fucking way. Well, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, but you got acquired by a good company through that acquisition that not only can get out of its own fucking way, but is growing by leaps and bounds.
That's right. So anyway, but it's a sad story for me. Anyway, it was a good reason to do a tech rant. So at the
like
end of
you
the...
need one. We call it 2.5 Bens. We do it with Sir Ryan Bemrose.
Yeah, we need to figure out when we're actually recording the next one. Yeah,
it'll probably be next week.
Yeah,
that's
actually something we should. By the way, that's something we
can talk about that in the back channel. But at this point.
Well, that's about it, really.
What?
Shirley, you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Fuck it. I gotta go.
Fuck it. We gotta go. We had a great time. But at this point...
I'm so fucking over this.
It is time for this to be over.
I got an idea to end all this bullshit.
Jordan fades back. Swoosh. And that's the game!
Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. You're cool. And fuck you. I'm out.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.